On this episode of Skeptico,
I will now use my psychic powers to seek help from beyond. I shall now channel the ghost of Lou Costello, who will guide us to this soul in distress. Hi, everybody, it's me, Lou Costello. All right, what's the name of the guy we're looking for?
He's an Asian fella, Melvin Hu.
That's what I want to find out.
What?
The name of the guy.
Melvin Hu.
Are you a cop?
Yeah.
You handling this case?
Yeah.
And what's the name of the guy?
Who?
The guy we're looking for.
Who?
The guy who's buried.
Who?
The guy with a bomb.
Who?
What street's he live on?
First.
Yeah, I'm not psychic.
Okay, that was, of course, Peter Griffin as a psychic detective on the TV show Family Guy. Very funny stuff. But since today's guest is psychic detective Noreen Rainier, I thought I would play that little clip and then read to you an excerpt from a deposition given by FBI agent Richard Ressler of Quantico, Virginia, who was assigned at the time to the Behavioral Sciences Unit of the FBI Academy and had some direct experience with a psychic detective. Here's what he says in this deposition, court deposition. The attorney asks, "One last subject I'd like to ask you about. In this lawsuit, there's some material about a prediction, a report of Ms. Rainier making a prediction about President Reagan. Are you familiar with whether or not she made such a prediction?" He answers, "Yes, I am. Can you tell us about that briefly?" And here is what FBI agent Ressler has to say. "Well, that was the first time she lectured, and it was a small group. I don't have the exact date of the lecture, but it was certainly before the Reagan shooting, which occurred in March of 1981. The lecture she gave was to a group of about 50 police officers, and there was an inquiry at the end during the question and answer about what was in Reagan's future. Noreen stated that she was feeling her side and that she felt he was having a heart attack in the future, and she said some chest pains, heart attack, and then she clarified it by saying, 'No, it's a sharper pain. It's a gunshot.' And then she continued to say that he would be shot in the future during his administration. And I believe she said in the left chest because that's where she was putting her hand on the left side. But she said he would not die, but he would become stronger in office because of the sympathy."
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris, and as you might have guessed from that introduction, we're going to be looking into the topic of psychic detectives today on Skeptico, and my guest is going to be well-known psychic detective and longtime friend of the show, Ms. Noreen Rainier. So Noreen and I talk about a number of things in this interview, including the current state of psychic detective work, which has pretty much gone underground due to the skeptics. I mean, here's a case where skeptics have really had an impact in driving this kind of work by police departments underground because the ridicule and scorn they get if anything ever goes public. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk about some of the bigger pictures of what's going on in terms of consciousness and who might want to be controlling that aspect of our mind. And then, of course, we talk about Noreen's work as a psychic detective. It was great reconnecting with Noreen. I hope you enjoy the dialogue. Today, we welcome back to Skeptico acclaimed, I have to say, world-famous psychic detective, psychic investigator, Noreen Rainier to Skeptico. Noreen has been a friend of mine for quite a few years. I met her through Skeptico and some of the interviews we did, and a lot of the work that we did that didn't make it onto Skeptico, as I was interested in this fascinating topic of psychic detectives. We've all seen it on TV. I actually did a demonstration of it with skeptic Ben Radford that I know some of you are familiar with. Anyways, it was really a pleasure to have Noreen contact me recently and just kind of say, hey, what's going on? What's up? I'm kind of coming back out and bringing my career back, and I'd love to come on Skeptico and talk about that. I thought that would be a great opportunity to reconnect with Noreen. She's the author of a couple of books I'd mention, A Mind for Murder and The Practical Psychic. Noreen, that was a kind of a long-winded introduction, but a way of just saying, thanks for joining me. It's great to talk to you again.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so very much. And, you know, the book, A Mind for Murder, has been translated into the French. I think they call it The Medium. And then the Russians were interested in my How-To, which is the Practical Psychic book. and there are a couple other languages that I've forgotten how they were translated, but I find that interesting.
Well, Noreen, you know, one of the things that people will find if they look into your career that's really kind of amazing is, one, that you have been at this for a long time. I mean, that's just
a fact. I'm old. I am so old now. 78, I'm 78, and I've been doing this 40-some years. So, and people say, oh, I'm retiring. I've been working for 32 years. I'm thinking, ha-ha, gotcha. I'm still working 40-some years later.
How has the work changed for you? Has your process changed, or has the work that's come to you changed? And what do you see going on in general in the field of psychic investigation and in our society, and how we're orienting ourselves towards this idea that maybe someone can do these kind of things that you do?
I think that the awareness of the mind has become a little more focused. I think we're still in kindergarten as far as the research we're doing or even what our imaginations can create, what the mind can do. I mean, the future events that could be helpful for medicine, could be helpful for technology, you know, tuning into someone's mind that's brilliant now in that field and then seeing what they might discover. I always thought that would be sort of interesting.
Noreen, what about from the standpoint of law enforcement? What changes have you seen in law enforcement over the years that you've been doing this, and how they feel about psychic detective work?
I think they've closed the doors much more now than they did before for one or two reasons. The harassment they get for using us, and number two, they might have more of an underground or a different level of people doing exactly what I'm doing, only they work for the different departments. So, you know, I mean, they've used us in the past. There's no reason why they haven't trained their own to do things that people like me can do. And I have done, you know, I've done some work with the remote viewers. I always thought I had to touch an item to get the energy from it. But as you know, the remote viewers, they just give the target a number. They call it a target. And so the first time I did it, I was really scared. And so I asked them, I know it wasn't their protocol, but I wanted to be able to describe the person. I knew it was going to be a person. They said MIA. Turned out to be an FBI agent. But at the time, they just needed to know where he was being held captive so they could get him released. So my job was to describe the area, the building or structure, country, you know, all of that kind of stuff for them to identify where he was being held so they could, you know, negotiate his release.
That's one of the questions I was going to ask you, because certainly during the career that you've had, there has been an acceptance of some forms of psi, and remote viewing is one. I wonder, what do you think about remote viewing as a way of accessing this mind? And when you say mind, I think you mean like the larger mind with a capital M, the big mind that we don't really understand, that seems to hold this huge body of information that people tap into from a number of different ways, whether it's near-death experience or psychic work or all sorts of different ways. But what do you think about remote viewing? And what do you think they are doing versus what you are doing when you try and access this information?
Well, I think the remote viewers are good. I think that my technique is better, because on this work I did for these people, who some way I'm sure connects with our government, she always would say, oh, they must have had all these other people doing the same thing that I was doing, the same target. And she would be always say, oh, your information was so accurate. You did so much better than the remote viewer. She was having writing all the time that she's telling me that. Why? Well, first of all, I've been doing this for jillions of years. This is my job. This is what I've been doing. So I've trained my mind to be able to respond to the questions, to get the answers to the questions that they ask me. That's why I think questioning is... But I think remote viewing, yes, and it's more down to earth than saying psychics. Just that word scares people. Where with the remote viewers and the military background and more than a lot of more male influence in that whole area, I think they're attracting new people. I still don't think they know quite what to do with our mind in so many ways. Of course, we need funding, but there's just little basic things that we could be doing doing or teaching or using now that we're not.
Like what? What do you think of when you say that?
Well, you know, they're very scared about security, homeland security, and, you know, are when we're questioning people coming into our country, are they telling the truth? You know, using intuitive mind to pick up information they're getting from someone else would be very helpful. It can be checked out further, but it would be, you know, just knowing cops do it all the time. They get that feeling when
right.
somebody's lying to you.
Right.
They know when somebody's lying. But our security in the airports and all, they don't have that training or that experience that my detectives, the police I worked with did. And talking about the police, you know, I've been, I'm 78 now. For the past 3 or 4 years, I've seemed to have one thing after the other physical. So I haven't been working. I've been moving around. Most people don't even know where I'm at anymore. They still think I'm in Virginia or North Carolina. I'm living in Florida, but I've had, you know, the lung cancer, all this sort of physical stuff, which is okay. I'm recovering. You know, I went to Mozambique, I think, four or six months after my operation, and I really didn't know where Mozambique was. I did, but didn't know most. And then Africa, it was East Africa. It was a really fantastic experience. But I wanted to make sure my psychic was still working after, you know, all the body parts being cut up and all that.
Yeah.
And they seemed to. It worked all right, yes. They don't have wine, a lot of wine in the bush. So I learned how to drink JB.
Great, great. And, and we should mention, I mean, I do think that you've mentioned this to me before, but you feel like a glass of wine kind of helps you manage your state into a state that's conducive to kind of doing this work, right?
I do. In the beginning, it was just I was so scared. And, you know, I had never had any encounters with detectives at all, and I think I was very nervous. And that drink just maybe gave me the courage, too, to relax and do your job.
I wanted to touch on one thing that you mentioned, because I have heard that the Israeli airport security force does exactly what you said. I heard, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that they kind of train people to tap into their intuitive sense in looking at people. So I think that we probably do have a long way to go there in terms of these little tricks that probably the seasoned detective already knows and has already incorporated in, but we can't formalize it and train people in how to do it.
And we're so frightened. We're so cautious of being safer or not offending people or, oh, the heck with that. You know, if it's going to help the massive, help the individuals, you know, our caution shouldn't be such a high-stake caution about trying and opening and doing things with the mind and letting the public know what we're doing instead of hiding it. Because I know there's so much that's hidden or being done in other countries so they can honestly say, no, we're not doing that.
Right.
And their truthful is going in another help funding other countries.
I think you're spot on that. You know, don't you think that a lot of that stems back to kind of the spiritual or really kind of occult overtones that are still associated with this work? And one of the things I know from your work is you've never had any kind of attachment to any kind of spirituality of this. As far as I know, you've always kind of told me, hey, this is just something that I am able to do, and I see this.
Yeah, they thought it would be gentler, more nicer, or no, it was just some way my mind could work and I could do this, but it was no spirituality. I mean, the meditation I think helped, or just being positive is a wonderful thing, no matter, you know, what you're doing. But it had nothing to do with my psychic.
But don't you think a lot of people still have those associations, or when you talk about worrying about offending people, I think that's what lies at the heart of this.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly in the United States. And other countries sometimes are more advanced, or this is foolishness to them. But no, absolutely in the United States, we still have that stigma. And it's, you know, it's the government, it's the politicians, it's whatever, because we have more control over people. You know, if we stay in the logical, rational mode, and if they go off on and learning how to use their mind in different ways, maybe the power, the control would not be as. Am I making any sense?
Oh, I think you're making.
We can control
that's a real third rail issue to talk about, but I do have to wonder if that is lurking behind all of this. And, you know, and I think sometimes people get a little bit too conspiratorial in this. I mean, let's just break it down in really simple terms. If you're going to run a country like the United States, the largest and only superpower left in the world, you need to have control of the people. You just do. It's obvious.
Oh, of course. So, you know, you see the countries that don't have the control of the people and the wars that are going. Oh, no, I definitely believe we need, I love our government, I love it, but we just got to take down a few of the barriers and be more, a little braver, a little less, you know. But no, I understand totally what you're saying. We need it. Yes.
And I think, you know, I mean, people who are historically minded have said that, hey, this is really about what happened in the 60s with the consciousness expanding psychedelics. And we can look at how that was originally a military project, military intelligence project. And then it got out of hand. And they said, how do we rein that back in? And I think there's always been this battle over consciousness. And it's brewing underneath. I don't think it's the main battle in our culture, but I do think, you know, anyone who's in the know and is trying to run the world the best way they can would be concerned about what people are doing with their consciousness, what people are doing with their mental powers, and whether they're using psychedelic drugs to reach these other realms, or whether they're believing that there is some life after death from near-death experience, or they're tapping into their psychic abilities. I think you're right in pointing out that anyone who's really paying attention and trying to run the world would be paying attention to those questions, no matter what they choose to do, you know, in terms of influencing it one way or another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said.
Tell us a little bit about your work as a psychic detective. I think that still is extremely intriguing to people in terms of how that happens, what you're able to do. What's a typical case like these days? And I know it's you just mentioned that they're less likely to come knock on your front door, but I still get the sense that either there's an indirect channel or they're going through the victim's family or something like that. But you're delivering some kind of information. How does that happen?
On homicide, I have to work my brain differently than on missing person. On homicide, it's actually easier for me because of the emotion involved in death and killing and hate. And all those emotions are so strong, they're much easier to pick up. So on a homicide, they usually want to know who did it and where that person is and why, you know. So having very specific questions, I think, was so helpful for me. They didn't say, what do you see? Because I wouldn't have known where to go with my mind. But they would say, can you describe the person that shot Mary after before they've even said that, they've told me that the victim's name is Mary, but they have not told me how she was killed. So for me to confirm that I really am psychic, I usually try to tune in and see how Mary was killed, describe Mary a little bit. And then once the officers, realize that I'm tuning in, then we go to the real questions, what they really need to know. But that's beginning, yeah. But touching, I always thought I had to touch things. I guess it doesn't matter what you believe in, as long as you believe in it, and it is for the good. Because my belief system was really sort of cockeyed, although I still like to touch items, although I know I don't need to anymore. I still like to. But that's mostly homicide. Oh, and pictures. They always want to know, and I used to work with this great artist. We were just so in tune, and when I would see the bad guy, I would be able to see him with enough clarity so my artist could make a good sketch of him that we always sent to the detectives. I always tried to give them more than they asked. I knew they would never take time to transcribe the tape or maybe even listen to it again, so I would have it transcribed. I would pay it out of my own pocket to have everything transcribed so they would have as many things as they could that might help them. And I never claimed to solve a crime. My job was only to give them information for them to follow up, and they solve the crime. Their hard work, their effort. Sometimes it would take them like a year, 2 years to really figure out where they were going with all my clues.
Right.
And, And they always were skeptic, which I didn't mind that. For some reason, the genuine ones really wanted answers, but the skepticism, for some reason, I think it helped me because it closed them down and I wasn't picking up their minds.
Is the same true when you're working with family members? Because I imagine in that case, they're...
I don't work with family. I don't on homicide. Missing person may be homicide. No, because that emotions, they might know in their head who they think they did it. I couldn't... No, never. I want to train them now. I don't even want to do this anymore. I want to train a little squad of specialized guys, so like the military did. And then when we have an Amber Alert, I mean, they don't wait 20 years to call me. They can get right in there, and I can train them how we can find that girl or boy or whatever it is right away. I can train. I'm a really good teacher. Mm-hmm. And I know. I know how it can be done, and I know them. I know my I call them my cops, my detectives. I know them.
So, Noreen, if someone has a missing person in their family or is really struggling over what happened to a loved one, would you be able to help them out?
I just got an email today from a woman. Her child was killed, and she said, "I know it must be a very painful thing to tune into something like this, but I need to know how my child died." And I haven't answered it yet because I'm thinking, how is that going to help her? I'm struggling with if I can handle that, if I want to. Why am I having to do that? I haven't answered her.
It's hard for you just to kind of the emotional part of going through
yes.
that. What is that like
but
for
her,
you?
It's going to be her emotional part that's going to be the hardest. Mm. How is she going to react to what I see and what I feel?
So that's why you say you really prefer working with law enforcement or
Absolutely.
Private detectives because they're a
Absolutely.
Little bit more detached from the thing.
I need their professionalism. I need their focus. The emotional stuff, I it affects my psychic.
For folks who want to know more about what's going on with you and maybe contact you, the best place is what, through the website, NoreenRenier.com?
The website. Yes, and I've got the books and everything up. But I really would like to train. I would like to teach more. I would like to do a prototype teaching for some law enforcement agency and just see if it works, if I can train their men. I mean, let's try it.
Well, you've had an amazing career and some amazing success. Folks, you really have to check out Noreen's website, and you can also check out the Skeptico website. We published a long time ago, but it's still up there, some direct testimony and evidence that happened when Noreen was presenting at the FBI Academy, and she actually worked with the FBI on several cases. So I don't think you can get a higher standard of credibility than that, where FBI agents are saying, hey, you know, we have no way of explaining this. This is the information we got back. It was clear. It was convincing. She has had an amazing career, and we certainly hope you continue to have an amazing career. Noreena, anything else you can talk about in terms of what's going on with you or what people might want to find from you?
Well, what is sort of going to be sort of fun for me, I'm going to be lecturing at the International Remote Viewing Conference coming up in June. And they usually have it in Las Vegas, but they're having it in New Orleans. And it's really an honor, because there'll be a lot of the scientists. Of course, I come from the practical application of, the minds, the scientists, the parapsychologists. I'm always so eager to hear, what they have to say, about the phenomenon and what they're doing or into. So it should be a interesting, conference at the end of this month. But other than that, just doing things. I got dogs so I can walk, and I most of the time, but pretty good health-wise. I just want to do different things with my mind. I think I'm just bored. 40-some years of homicides and missing persons. I would like to do, why can't I find gold or oil for somebody? Why can't I do more fun stuff with my mind? So if you think of anything fun I can do with my mind, I love gambling, you know that. the remote viewers in France, they were going to teach me, and what they did is give me a series of numbers, and I went back in time and described whatever the event was. Of course, I was right. Then they did a few more. Then we were going to go in the future events. They didn't tell me at the time, but they were getting games that were going on in the world right then. And like tennis, or I didn't know it. Again, I didn't know at the time, football. And they would give me and ask me what I saw. And I thought that was sort of neat because I was looking at future events, and I'm not even knowing what type of betting or game or whatever it was. And I didn't even know if it was betting. But I thought that was interesting. I thought that I did pretty good on that. So I just like to see what the mind can really do. So fun experiments are always neat.
Well, that's great. So if anybody out there who has a gambling streak in them and they want to take a shot or want to find a gold mine, I've often thought, and you know, we did an experiment like that,
not
you
bad,
and I
yeah.
together. I think there's yeah. potential there. I think it's a tough road to hoe. You know, the famous mentalist or psychic, whatever you want to call him, Uri Geller
yes.
claims that is really how he made his fortune. And it was by finding
yes.
oil for folks
yeah,
off for, coast.
Yeah, but yes, I mean that's because he didn't have to do all this cases, you know, all this
right.
stuff. I'm just for my survival. I work so hard. I'm laughing because if somebody said, "What are you doing now?" I'm surviving. I'm trying to survive.
Well, somebody ought to get you in a helicopter and ride you off the coast of Mozambique out there and ask you to point down where the oil is.
Oh, I'm just talking about Mozambique. I got to tell you, this is so funny. You know, my police work, I'm so used to my police, and they're always cautious, and they always check things out. Well, they called me from Mozambique, my contact, and he says, a general is missing. And, you know, I think like a pilot, a general. I don't think of war. I just think this man is a general and he's missing. Well, it is a war. And where I told them to find that he would be hiding or hidden, they had their guns. They found his right-hand man, the top, he was missing. Then they went to the other place and people get killed and the gun. I mean, they listened to me and they did it really quick. And it was sort of startled me. I never thought that I'd be I just thought this person was missing. I didn't know there were going to be all these guns and wars.
So what information were you able to provide them, and how did it help them?
I still don't know what sides were what, but where I saw the general the first time is where they found his right-hand man and captured several important people to whoever they were. They were important, whoever they captured. The second place that they went to look for him that I had seen, the other army or whatever they were seemed to take it hurt the people I was working for. So there was a lot of gunshots. Being fired, I guess, in that area.
So you're
they don't really tell me a lot.
You were hot on the trail then, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of exciting but scaring.
Well, Noreen, it's been great having you on, and please do stay in touch. Let me know what's going on, and I hope listeners do check out either your excellent books or your website at NoreenRenier.com. Noreen, thanks again for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Noreen Renier for joining me today on Skeptico. I guess I'd have one question that I would like to hone in on from this interview, and it was really kind of a minor point, but I mentioned it in the beginning, and I think it's maybe one of the more important aspects of all this, and that is the fact that police departments are less likely now to publicly go out and try and use this kind of resource, this kind of information that they might get from a psychic, due to the fact that there is this stigma that skeptics really have created about. So the very public debunkers, the Ben Radfords, the Joe Nichols, the other people that just jump on this stuff whenever it happens and put themselves out there in the media in terms of embarrassing the police into even the thought of using these psychics, has really kind of created a situation where maybe this tool that could really be of use is not being used. So I guess the question is, what do you think about that? Do I have the situation right, or is it important that these folks advance this idea and protect us all from those mean, nasty psychic detectives out there? I guess you know how I feel about that, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. Of course, the place to do that is on the Skeptico website, the new Skeptico website, which I'll talk more about later. But for now, you can just know that there is a new Skeptico website, and I have some interesting ideas about where we can take that. Both I can take that, and you, the Skeptico listeners, can help me take that. But more about that in the coming weeks. For now, you can just hop on over to skeptico.com, skeptiko.com, and leave me a comment there, or certainly share this on Facebook, or leave me a message on Facebook, or jump on over to the Skeptico forum and connect with all the folks who are over there as well. I do have some very interesting shows coming up in the hopper, ready to get out as soon as I can get to them. I think you'll enjoy some of the topics that I have in the works, including a rather extensive set of shows around the topic of Christianity and spirituality and how and what divides us on those topics. So please stay with me for all of that and stay with me in general. Tell folks about the show. Get in touch with me. Let me know what you're thinking. Suggest a guest that you'd like to hear on the show. All that good stuff. Stay connected. That's what this is all about. And until next time, take care and bye for now.